Hello, I'm Doyle Davidson, servant and apostle of Lord Jesus Christ, ministering from the Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, and sent by God to your house throughout the world. I want to say hello to Steady and all that are in Harare and in Zimbabwe and Africa. We are now going back there by live stream, and it's going to be interesting. It already is. Amen. And it's such a blessing that they've got a new water well. It's not totally complete, but they're drinking water from it. Thank God for that. Makes my heart rejoice. Well, we're going to talk about some interesting things today going on in the book of Hebrews to chapter 6. This is amazing how God has coordinated all of this, because on Thanksgiving Day, we're going to have 4 hours here from this building. And I think I said 9 to 11 and what, 6 to 8, something like that. I believe that's correct. And we're going to have many speakers, several speakers, that are descendants of the Mayflower, descendants of, thank God, ancestors that came to that area in Massachusetts, Rhode Island, other than on the Mayflower and from the Mayflower. Also, we're going to have descendants of Native Americans or the Indian, of which I'm 32nd or more Cherokee, I found out a couple of years ago. And I thank God for my heritage, I will tell you that. Apparently, from what we can determine, it is English, Scottish, German, little Irish, and some Indian, Cherokee, maybe something else, I don't know. But I'm kind of a mixed breed, and that's what makes me a hybrid. So, we're going to open up with some interesting things. Kathy D is going to be reading today, and I've been talking this morning a couple hours, talking with Courier, also talking with Casperite. So, she's going to read something that's most interesting and appropriate to my life and to everyone else's. Let's go.
Should we start with chapter 6 first?
Chapter 6, book of Hebrews. Right, what are you going to read first?
Mike.
You talking about my mic?
No, my mic. Okay.
Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Do you want me to start in chapter 6, the first several verses?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith toward God, and of the doctrine of baptisms, and of laying on of the hands, and the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this will we do, if God permit.
That where you want to quit?
Yeah.
Very good. You know, you quit in an interesting place. Go on to perfection, if God permits. God will not permit everyone to go on to perfection. It's his plan, not yours, not mine. So let's just rejoice and be glad that this is a day the Lord hath made. And keep your, okay. What do you want to do next, Kathy?
Well, the principles, the six principles.
Well, first of all, the six principles of the doctrine of Christ was something that my ninth great-grandfather taught in America in the 1636 and forward. He was from England, and Kathy's going to be reading some things here about him. His name is Samuel Gorton, and very interesting that this man is my ninth great grandfather and helped establish Rhode Island and Massachusetts and so forth. That in the 1973, a young man from Florida, who I met in Florida, he'd been in California in the ministry, came to my home in Argyle, Texas. And I was looking for the foundation. I was reading from 1 Corinthians 3 about the foundation, but I wasn't open to that which was in the book of Hebrews. Name is Mike Reed. His wife was named Pat, still is. And they had 3 or 4 children. I apologize, Mike. But they were at our house. And I was talking with Mike about the foundation. He said, "Oh, don't you know where it's at?" I said, "Well, no." He said, "Well, it's Hebrews chapter 6. So he pointed that out to me. I started studying that foundation at that juncture in 73. Well, a couple of years ago, something like that, I find out that my ninth great-grandfather taught this foundation, taught these 6 principles, he and others, and were instrumental in establishing the first 6 principal church in the East. Now, they taught in Providence, Rhode Island, and this is proven, well documented, where there is some interesting opposition.
Yes.
Amen. You thought so? Okay. And they taught these 6 principles, and we know this, as early as 1647 in America. We know this. Now, they may have taught it in England. I don't know. But I can prove this by documents. And perhaps, well, at least, according to some documents that Kathy's going to read, that 6th principal church was registered in 1711. And that it's in a file. It's recorded in a county. And Kathy's going to read this. They had been teaching it, we know, as early as 1647. What's interesting is today that church that my ancestors and David Casperite's ancestors and others recorded, that building that was recorded in 1711 is called a Baptist church. It was recorded, the building was, as a 6th principal church. And our ancestors were teaching this as early as 1647. And the way I read that, the Baptists didn't have a thing to do with it. Now, I just started a war, and I'm enjoying it. Because that Baptist spirit has given me fits. Now, Kathy, am I permitted to be quiet and you read?
I'm going to read an excerpt from a publication by this ministry that talks about the deed. It says, "In researching the early churches of this area, writers and historians refer to the churches at Providence, Warwick, Newport, and others as Baptists. However, published writings of the founders of those early churches have not stated as such. They didn't call themselves anything except followers of Jesus Christ. They simply practiced what they understood the scriptures to say, endeavoring to be obedient to the word. And for that, they were called heretics. Meetings were held in members' homes, and it was recorded that the first official meeting house wasn't built until 1711. Others dated it 1700, but the historical catalog of the members of the First Baptist Church in Providence, Rhode Island, written by Henry Melville King in 1908, states that a deed on file in City Hall, dated 1711, lists the church as a sixth principal church.
You know, at that time, all of them that taught that were dead. The sixth principal church, all of our ancestors had gone on to be with the Lord. So, the Baptist word attached to that is erroneous. It was never a Baptist church until Baptists took it over. It was the sixth principal church, or it is just followers of Jesus Christ. Next.
And we also have the book that Samuel Gordon wrote, The Incorruptible Key, composed of the 110th Psalm. And he talks about where you may open the rest of the scriptures. It was written by Samuel Gordon. Gentlemen, and of the time, this is the title page, and the time of the penning hereof in the place of indicature upon Aquath Neck, alias Rhode Island, of Providence Plantations, in Narragansett Bay, New England. And it was printed in the year 1647.
Right. And who was he?
That was Samuel Gordon.
Oh.
And he was one of the founders of the Sixth Principal Church.
And he was who?
Your ninth great-grandfather.
Thank you, ma'am. I wanted to get that recorded. See, this is, we're under oath.
I will quote Samuel Gordon. And he says, quote, I left my native country to enjoy the liberty of conscience in respect to faith toward God and no other end.
That was it?
That was his quote, unquote.
Have we finished with the preliminaries?
Yes, and that research was done by Catherine Currier, our researcher.
Okay, so we're through.
We're through.
So we can go to verse 1, chapter 6.
All right.
Let's go.
Verse 1, therefore leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God.
Notice what that says. The beginning principles of the doctrine, the teachings of Christ. Not laying again the foundation. Right there tells you what the foundation of the teachings of Christ were. Right?
Right.
Now, would you read those six verses?
All right.
Not laying again what?
The foundation of repentance from dead works.
There's the first one. Repentance from dead works is foundation. The foundation teaching of Jesus Christ. And if you're going to teach the foundation of the teachings of Jesus, you have to teach that. You have to begin with that. Next.
Then faith toward God.
After that, faith toward God. Repentance. Repentance. Then faith. You know why there's such little faith in the church, no repentance. That's the problem. I've been teaching this since 1973. No repentance. You know what they call repentance? I'm sorry. And call it remorse. Years ago, there was a woman that sung a song, I'm sorry. And that probably had its origin in some religious setting. No, repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. Repentance is acknowledging as the Spirit of God leads you to repentance. Acknowledging your sin or your dead work, which happens to be a sin, and change your will, your mind, from following that doctrine and repent, change to believe the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's repentance. Then faith. Now let's go.
Amen.
Didn't know we were going to do this.
Verse 2 of the doctrine of baptisms.
There's your third doctrine. Doctrine of, notice, baptisms. One, John's baptism. Baptism of repentance. Doesn't apply to us. Second, baptism in the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in other tongues. Third, water baptism by immersion. Romans 6. No, not your choice. Planted and buried. Romans 6. What's the other one? Baptism, Holy Spirit, repentance. I guess that's it.
Fire.
Oh, and fire. I knew there was one other one. The other one is baptism and fire. Jesus said he had that baptism that he had to be baptized with, and until he was baptized with it, he would not be straightened. You'll also go through the fire. The same one, baptism and fire. Lord, I don't want this. Well, you don't want to go to heaven either, do you? Well, of course I'm going to heaven. No, of course you might not be. Rejecting the Word of God. Did you ever hear that? Now I know that you can just call upon the name of the Lord and be saved and go to heaven. That is the truth. But I don't think you got a lot of time after you call. Next.
The laying on of hands.
Doctrine. Laying on of hands. There's your fourth doctrine of Jesus Christ. Laying on of hands. Next.
Of the resurrection of the dead.
There's your fifth. Resurrection of the dead. Number six.
And of eternal judgment.
Eternal judgment. I had all these teachings on tape. Had 239 hours of teaching tapes. 2002 or 3, God told me to throw them all away. I understand why. Because I was shipping tapes all over the world free of charge, albums, on audio. Today, they're on live stream all over the world, on the internet. You just have to download them, receive them, and I don't have to spend thousands of dollars of God's money to pay postage to send something to you that you might not even find a recorder to play them in. Right?
Right.
I don't know that, but add to that. So there's your sixth principal church. Do they teach that in your church? I will just be provocative. Do they teach that in the Baptist church? Those six principles? Well, that was the beginning church that was taught by my ancestors and others in Rhode Island, Providence, Newport, Warwick, and others. Amen. Next.
Verse 3, and this will we do if God permit.
Which will we do what? Go on to perfection. After that foundation is laid. You don't get saved. Glory be to Jesus. Oh, Shangabai. Have you ever watched them? Give me a pulpit. Give me a Bible. I'm going to preach. You're not ready to preach. And if you went to a seminary, you're less equipped to preach. You know, they took note of Peter, James, and John because they'd been with Jesus. Not because they went to some seminary and learned false doctrines. And I've never been to a seminary. I thought I should go. I thought I should learn Greek. And the Lord said, you don't have time to study Greek. You've got concordances and dictionaries where people have labored and put them together. And those will be what you will use. You're not going to seminary and you're not going to learn Greek. You're going to be led by the Spirit of God into the wilderness and be tempted of the devil for about 5 years. So I can prove you, humble you, show you what's in your heart, and show whether you will keep my commandments. You know, one of the hardest commandments I ever had to deal with. God said to Jeremiah, I'm sending you to all these places I'm sending you. And he said, whatever I command you to speak, if you don't speak it, I'm going to break you to pieces in front of everyone. And I thought God could not speak to a child like that. You know, today that would not be politically correct. And teachers would have a lawsuit on their hands. And then one day I read where Josiah was 8 years old and God anointed him king of Israel. And then one day said to him, your heart is tender toward me, and I don't want you to see all of the judgment that's coming upon Israel. I'm going to bring you to be with me, the Lord. Then I thought, well, I guess God can speak to a child or an adult or any group of people that he wants to, any way he wants to. And you're going to find out, folks, that you've been lied to by evil spirits telling you that you had a right to defend yourself. No. God is your defense. God is your refuge. God is your shield, your buckler, your guide. And him you should trust. Next.
Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of God, and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
All right, would you back up?
Sure will.
And read the four words. Made partakers of what?
For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened.
Enlightened, okay.
And have tasted of the heavenly gift.
All right. Tasted the heavenly gift. That's Jesus, I think. I've read this. Go on. I'll get it straight.
And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
That was Jesus. And were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That's also a gift from heaven. All right? That's why I took a deep breath. Next.
5. And have tasted the good word of God.
Tasted the good word of God. All right? That's what I teach. Next.
And the powers of the world to come.
And the powers of the world to come. The powers that I minister here and wherever I'm at and minister throughout the world happen to be the powers of the world to come. Present now. Now, impossible. Once they have tasted these four things, and what's next?
If they shall fall away.
If they fall away. Now, you people have all been taught this by this ministry throughout the world for more than 34 years. I have not shunned to declare to all the world the full counsel of God. Nor have I coveted any of your money. Next.
If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance.
If they fall away, it's impossible to renew them to repentance. Impossible. If those four things you've tasted of, impossible to renew them unto repentance. Next.
Seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh.
You know what happens when you fall away? You crucify the Lord anew?
Afresh.
What?
Afresh.
Afresh, yeah. To yourself. You see, I've taught this. You're without excuse, folks. You're without excuse, America. I've taught every bit of this. Television, shortwave radio, live stream since 07. Thank God I've not shunned to declare the full gospel of Jesus Christ, the full counsel of the Lord to the world. Next.
The Son of God afresh and put him, which is italicized, to an open shame.
It's italicized. We don't say that.
Okay.
Go on.
7. For the earth which drinketh in the rain.
Now listen to this. For the earth. What?
For the earth which drinketh in the rain.
Drinketh in the rain. Now listen. The earth.
That cometh off upon it.
That comes often upon it. Right?
Right. And bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed.
And bringeth forth herbs, meat for them, which is dressed?
By whom it is dressed.
By whom it is dressed. The farmers, the people, the husbandmen. All right? Now, I want to say something about the word herb. Herb is more than those things in those little bottles that you buy in a grocery store. The word herb is also herbage. Real people call it herbage. Not all, but some. But it's called herbage. It's a grass. It's a hay. It's grasses that grow for animals to eat, livestock, all kinds. And it brings forth, the earth does, brings forth herbs. Or you could say herbage. Or, I better not go any deeper. See, I know this stuff. I taught this stuff, walked in it for years. Let's go next.
Receiveth blessing from God. 8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected.
Right.
And nigh unto...
Let's read that previous verse.
Sure will.
And then go to that next one.
7.
Blessing.
For the... Okay. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed,
right,
receiveth blessing from God.
See, that's a blessing. All the grasses that you see, alfalfa, doesn't matter. I know you all like alfalfa sprouts. Right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, people do. You know what? That's an herb. Or it's an herbage. Part of the plant, the alfalfa plant. All right? Now let's go. That next verse.
8, but that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected.
That, see, that you know, in the earth, all those good grasses, all those good herbs, the plants that produce those herbs, if they take a breath, you know, they're accepted. You know what? That those thorns and briars that grow on that soil, that the earth is rejected, right? Of course it is. It hurts the fingers. The briars. Next, go on.
And is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned.
Nigh unto cursing, end is to be burned. Next.
9. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you.
All right, let's back up. The rain comes upon the earth. That's the Holy also. Holy Spirit coming upon the heart of a man or a woman. The Holy Spirit has been poured out throughout the world since 1960. And it's caused great turmoil on the flesh because the flesh has become very much energized, irritated by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to lead you to repentance, but you don't want to repent. You want to do your own thing. And that's what's going on in America and the world today. Likewise, that rain, the Holy Spirit being type of rain, comes in on the thorns and briars and the heart. Comes in on the heart. What does that heart do? Does it beareth, right?
Right.
That word beareth?
Bringeth forth herbs.
Bringeth forth herbs. No, come on, next verse.
Okay. But that which beareth thorns and briars.
Now, beareth. See? Beareth thorns and briars. That is the soil, but that's also your heart. Beareth brings forth, produces thorns and briars because of the rain that comes upon it. And that's thy under cursing. That's as plain as I'm going to make it to you. But what's wrong with the people of the world, the Spirit of God poured it out upon them and their hearts have brought forth briars and thorns. And the world's crazy because of it. And this preacher has taught this to the entire world since 1980. What do I do next, Kathy?
You want to go on?
Sure. Finish this chapter.
Verse 9. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak.
We're persuaded of better things of you and things that bring forth salvation. Go on.
10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have showed toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister.
Go on.
And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises.
Do you see that? Followers of them who are through patience and faith inherit the promises. I've taught that in this building since 1981. All over the world. From this building. Go.
13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation.
1 minute. Immutable, unchangeable. Go on.
We might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Last verse 20, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest after the order of Melchizedek.
I preached the full counsel of God to the world since 1980. I have no one's blood on my hands.